Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 64. And we are joined tonight with a very special guest, a very mini guest that you might be able to hear in the background, who is not the advertised guest, and that is my daughter, Sophia. She's just had her first birthday, and she is gurgling away at the side of me, and I will be bringing her on in a second just to say hello for her yearly update. So look forward to that. We are live on DLive, and we are also live on RadioAlbion.com, which is run by my friend and excellent nationalist content creator, Sven Longshanks. RadioAlbion.com is a wonderful resource full of amazing shows, restreams, and other great nationalist material that you may want to watch if you're starved for fantastic material. Now, all the replays of these shows are live, not live, are on BitChute. There is a full archive of all of these shows on BitChute. So please, that is my child. So all of the archive of these shows is on BitChute. So please go to my BitChute channel. Nothing is now archived or kept on YouTube. None of these are live on YouTube. So live on DLive and Radio Albion, and also replays on BitChute. Now, if you want to contribute to the show, you can contribute via Entropy. The link is in the chat now. And also, it is on my Twitter, it is on my Telegram, and I think it's on my Parler and my Gab as well. So that's the best way to contribute to the show. You can make financial contributions, and all financial contributions or super chats are read out, or you can simply ask questions. And if you ask a question, your question or the best questions will be read out, and anything that is super chatted will also be read out live on the show. You can also contribute via Bitcoin. And if you want to contribute by other methods, such as bank transfer, you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. And I'm just going to mute my camera temporarily as the little one is passed over so she can say hello, and then she can go to bed because she's going to go into terror mode very soon. So prepare yourselves for Sophia. Ooh, you coming to daddy?
Let me just pull a t-shirt.
Oh, she's got a t-shirt up. Do you want to wave to everybody? Hello, everybody.
Oh,
do you want to wave?
Oh, she's beautiful.
Do you want to say something funny? What does the elephant do? Yay, big trunk. What does the monkey say? What does the monkey say? She's not doing it. She did it at the wildlife park the other day. But she's not making any monkey noises today. She does lots of different animals. She does the pig, the monkey, and the elephant. They're her favourites. But she's not performing. You going to wave goodbye? Because it was your first birthday, wasn't it? It was your first birthday on Monday. Going to do a wave? Going to do a wave? No. Too interested on what's on the floor. Anyway, that's enough of Sophia. Trust me, a little bit of Sophia can often be far too much, but she is being quite well behaved. There's a big smile. Do you want to do a big wave as well? Big wave? No. No big wave. Right. Sophia, it is time for you. Oh, little wave. Little wave. Do waving. Right. I'm going to pass her away. And I'll be joining you again in a second. Here you go. Go to mummy. There we go. And there she goes. That is my daughter. That is one of the main reasons why I'm involved in this struggle, because she is a little darling. Although she didn't do her full complement of animal noises, I think she might have been a little overwhelmed by proceedings. So we do have some news before we get into the show. One of the first pieces of news is, unfortunately, bad news. Our great friend and absolutely awesome content creator, Morgoth, just lost his Twitter account. That is bad news. He was a major force for good on Twitter. He is now unfortunately banned. However, you can find him on Telegram. So please go and support his account there. Support him on alternative social networks. He is a wonderful advocate for our cause. He is a great content creator, and I will miss him a lot on Twitter. But eventually, we're all going to go from Twitter, and we need to support these alternative platforms, just as we do with platforms like BitChute and DLive. Now, the second piece of information is PA, Patriotic Alternative, is holding a paintball day in Yorkshire this weekend. If you want to attend the PA paintballing, I will be there myself and so will Laura. You can message UK White Wellbeing, UK White Wellbeing, UK WWB on Telegram, or you can email Yorkshire at patrioticalternative.org.uk. Please do that to make sure you can get a place at the paintball. Also, please do not forget Indigenous Peoples Day. We have Indigenous Peoples Day coming up on August the 9th, and that is going to be a fantastic day. We are putting up White Lives Matter banners all over the country. So if you haven't downloaded your White Lives Matter banner and sent it to a printer, do so straight away, because on August the 9th, we are doing a huge day of action. Please check out the Patriotic Alternative website. If you haven't heard of this initiative, or if you weren't planning to take part, there's still plenty of time to do so. Next up, my speech from Erkenbrand last year is finally up online. It's on BitChute. There are links to that on my Telegram, my Parler, and my Gab. It is a very, very spicy speech about the level of control a certain group of people have and the hypocrisy that they constantly push. So please go and check that out. That is the news. And before we get on to our excellent special guests, the White Art Collective, please, Jason, tell us what you've been up to this week, my friend, and also tell us who's on tap this week.
Not quite sure who's on tap this week, but Saturday it's going to be, probably midday Eastern Standard Time. Look forward to seeing all of you there. And I just wanted to say really quickly, everyone, one of our content creator friends is Lovely Porge. You can find him on Ruination Media. Please do so when you get an opportunity. One other thing I would like to share, I guess, at the beginning of the show today is that we continue to do some amazing things in the background. And keep your eyes open. Many of the things have already been rolled out and are rolling out, and they'll be changing the context in which we fight for our well-being and recapture our destiny. And to that end, somebody has shown up and has... I want to give a big thanks to that individual. We'll talk more about that this coming Sunday, which, by the way, this past Sunday was the 100th show of Going Free. And so didn't even celebrate it, but I was reminded by Groundhog Fury about that. So really excited to have done that. But we had somebody step up and give me access to $2,000 for efforts and activities for White Wellbeing. And very grateful for that. And everyone who continues to support White Wellbeing. And I pass it back so we can get to this magnificent panel and all of the questions and comments from the magnificent audience today.
Well, I'm sorry we had a lengthy intro, but people did want to see Sophia, and I did promise we'd bring her back on her first birthday. It was nice bringing her on, and as you can see, she's developing into a very healthy and happy little girl, and she really, really has changed my life for the positive. If you are having doubts that you should have children, she is a great advertisement for the wondrous effect a child can have on your life, and she is the best thing that has ever happened to me. So go forth and multiply. It really, really does pay off. Now, if you haven't shared the stream yet, please make sure you do, because the guys I'm about to introduce have a real special place in this movement, and they deserve a lot more credit than they get. This is the White Art Collective. Now, we often talk about why we fight. We often talk about why we do what we do. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to be involved in this cause. We take a lot of knocks. It can be a hard life. It can mean being alienated from friends, loved ones, even members of our family. And sometimes we lack inspiration. Sometimes we feel beaten down, but these guys produce amazing work that lifts our spirits, that inspires us and continues in the wonderful traditions of Western man in terms of pushing art, creativity, poetry, music. This is part of the Western soul. This is part of our spirit. This is the White Art Collective. I am so pleased to have you guys on. Please take some time to introduce yourselves, talk a bit about your excellent and very important work, and tell us all where we can find you and how we can contribute to your sterling and inspirational work.
Well, I figure I'll lead there. So I'm Jeff Winston, the director of the White Art Collective, and I'll give you guys a kind of a brief summary of what the White Art Collective is. So give you some context and an understanding of what we're doing. So the White Art Collective is a collection of artists of European descent whose mission is to preserve, promote, celebrate, and expand upon our shared European culture. Some of the ways that we do that is first and foremost by building community. We facilitate collaboration. We're creating platforms that inspire artists to create and to also help get them to a broader audience. Just in general, try to have a good time. And we got all kinds of projects that we do. We got contests, all kinds of stuff going on, but we can get into that stuff as we go a little bit further into it. With me today, I have some of our most talented artists and musicians, and they are also some of the greatest contributors in general to the White Art Collective. And I'll go ahead and let them introduce themselves. First of all, we have Mama P from the Mamas and the Pepes. Mama, how you doing today?
Oh, Jeff, I'm doing great. But, you know, you sold yourself short a little bit by introducing yourself as the director of the White Art Collective. You forgot to mention that you are also a musician, a songwriter, a singer, and a filmmaker. So please That's remember true. That. Yes, please remember that the next time you introduce yourself on a program. Yeah, so I'm Mama P, and I am one half of the dissident duo known as the Mamas and the Pepes. We started writing in March of 2017. And for the last few years, we've been kicked off of YouTube, Instagram, and Bandcamp. And so you can now find us on BitChute, Twitter, and WhiteArtCollective.com. I'm happy to co-host the White Art Collective's, can I say flagship program, I think, the Saturday night live stream, which we do on White Art Collective's DLive channel every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Wow. Eastern Daylight Time. And yeah, you know, I make jokes and I sing and I write some lyrics, occasionally music, and I'm very happy to be here.
All right. Thank you, Mama P. And before I forget too, I just wanted to thank Mark and Jason for having us. I've met Jason before in person and I've been on tap before. This is my first time on PWR and Wax first time. So I just wanted to thank you guys. I've been watching the show for a long time. You guys are doing incredible work, and I have the utmost respect. And for what you're doing with PA, I think we need an American version of that.
Here, yes. I would like a PA here in the United States. So, Mark, if you've got a brother here on this side of the pond, let us know.
Unfortunately, I don't, but thank you for such kind words. That is, I'm pleased that you like what we're doing here, because we certainly like what you're doing with the White Art Collective.
Well, thank you. It's great to be in such good company with such mutual respect and appreciation. And coming up next, another one of our fantastic artists is the lovely Hyreth. Hyreth, please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Hyreth, and I'm a singer-songwriter, and I write, I guess, more folk-style kind of stuff. I joined the White Art Collective about a year ago, which is crazy because it doesn't feel like it was a year ago. I host Friday Unplugged Now, which is a show we do where we have an artist come on and play a live set. And I also host some of a new show we're doing called Our Culture, where we bring someone on and they sort of talk about whatever they're passionate about when it comes to culture in general. and the role that that plays in influencing and helping our people and that sort of thing. And yeah, I guess that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I'm really grateful for people like Mark and Jeff, because it takes a special type of person to be able to put something together like this, like Patriotic Alternative or like White Art Collective. And they've both done such a great job with doing what they're doing. So I just feel like they need endless support for what they're doing, because Jeff gave us all like a home basically as dissident artists, which is so important. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Hyreth. Yeah, happy to do it. It gives me a home and a family of artists too. So, you know, it's a mutual exchange. And last, but certainly not least, is our good friend, also from across the pond, Mr. Jack White. He is a banjo player, songwriter extraordinaire. He's what Bob Dylan wishes he was. He's got that kind of grit and that kind of cred. So, Jack, please introduce yourself, my friend.
Well, what an introduction. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you to Mark and Jason for having us on. I second much what Hyreth said about, you know, we need to give respect to people like Jeff and Jason and Mark that are, you know, out there doing this, you know, leaders. But yeah, I write folk music basically, and I'm just happy to contribute, you know, what I can to the community. And I love whack. I love the whack pack, and I'm just happy to be involved, really.
All right. And Jack also, he's helped host a couple of shows, episodes of Our Culture. And he's also just kind of a driving force behind helping us to grow and figure out who are good people to reach out to. And so he's a big help behind the scenes, and he's not giving himself nearly enough credit there, but we appreciate him greatly. But yeah, that's kind of just an overview of WAC and some of our artists here. Where do you guys want to take it from there?
Well, you had a list of things that you wanted to promote and talk about, and I definitely don't want to, we've definitely got things we want to discuss tonight, but I don't want to cut you guys short, because your work is so important. And we were speaking before the show, actually. I was talking about my history in politics with Jack before we were joined by the rest of you guys. And I was saying that when you're out there in the trenches, whether you're out doing banner drops, whether you're out leafleting, whether you're on marches or demonstrations, however you express your politics, however you choose to do your activism, often it is very much hard work. Often you put yourself in the firing line. And sometimes that can be very wearing, both mentally and also physically. And I found when I was involved in politics, doing leafleting, canvassing, traveling long distances to help with election campaigns, that often it was things like music which inspired activists and kept them upbeat, kept them smiling, kept them willing to go that extra mile when they'd been leafleting all day. Now, a long time ago, when I first got involved in politics, the scene was very different. The music that accompanied it was very, very different. And you now are the new generation of content creators. You're the new generation which is here to inspire the activists and organizers of today. And I was talking about just how important music and art was when it came to inspiring activists and organizers. So please talk a little bit more about the things you wanted to talk about, because you wanted to talk about the new White Art Collective website, the new mixtape, which is premiering on DLive right after PWR, the second annual Spooky Short Film Contest and Festival. Please go into some of those things and elaborate and let our audience know exactly what you're doing and how they can get involved.
Yeah, love to. Yeah, so one of the big things that we're doing, actually, is, speaking of collaboration, is so we've been getting some love over here on DLive on our Saturday night live stream and our other shows as well. We have a number of other shows. We've got, as Mama P said, Saturday night live stream is our flagship show. That's every Saturday, 9 p.m. EDT on our DLive channel. But we also, right after that, we have a live DJ set with a DJ Boxcar on Dance Squared. And then we just ended our first season of Conversations with the Wind, which is our poetry cast with one of our resident poets, Nullis. And he did an amazing job there, had 14 episodes. And it's things like this that, like, so we started out with the music show, and that started bringing more and more musicians kind of out of the woodwork, so to speak. And it's how, you know, what drew a lot of these folks to what the White Art Collective was doing. And then I wanted to try to go ahead and also platform other types of artists, because when you create that platform for people, then they're suddenly, the artists themselves are inspired. So you're talking about inspiring the organizers and the activists and things, and our folk just in general. But another important thing, and something I saw a lack of and just a need for, having been an artist for many years, is that artists need to be inspired. They need to have that community to be a part of, that energy to bounce around and bounce off of. And they need help. You know, you can't exist in a vacuum. And we live in a very alienating time and very alienating societies generally in the West, that, you know, an artist has a hard time connecting. An artist are kind of eccentrics anyway. So, you know, this is kind of part of what we're doing, is like trying to make it to where they don't have to do all of their own everything, you know, like everything's kind of DIY these days. So they don't have to do all their own promotion. So they don't have to try to build their own platform. So that's why we do these shows like Conversations with the Wind. And then Friday Unplugged Now, another one of our shows, is a music show for actual live performances, which Hyreth hosts. And I think we've had about 7 episodes of that so far. And then we have a film show as well. So again, that's like trying to touch all the different elements. Of course, we don't have nearly a show for every medium yet. I'm still working on more stuff for visual artists. I'm actually working on a big project. It's going to be kind of like a 3D art gallery. It'll be like basically watching a video, but I'm going to try to have like a showing. It'll be an event, you know, where people get your BYOB. I mean, you'll be sitting at your computer, you know, but you'll get your stuff, and we're going to have a date and a time to watch this video. And we're going to put in this 3D environment, we're going to put like paintings and statues and different things, some stuff that, you know, folks within our movement have created, some older stuff. But yeah, we're going to do that. That's another way that we're creating a platform to inspire people to create and to do stuff. And then that inspiration of the artist bouncing around creates that nuclear core, with which then we can inspire the movement more broadly and our people more broadly. So some other things that we're doing with that, we actually have a spooky short film contest and festival. This is our second one. We had one last year, and we're doing that in October. And I'm trying to get ahead of the curve here, because last year I only gave about 2 months notice. But basically, so like a 3 to 10 minute short film, spooky short. And if you don't want to be in the contest, you can just show your film there. Some people don't want to do the contest thing, but we have $1,000 cash prize for first place. Second place is $500. Third place is $250. And last year, we had like 6 entries, I believe. And Lilu and John won with their entry, Misandry, which is a brilliantly made short film. And it's totally relevant to all the stuff that we talk about constantly, as you can probably tell just from the title. That's actually over on our BitChute, and it's also over on their YouTube, I believe. But that, yeah, it's things like this. And they were so excited about that. And it really inspired them. You know, that movie, that short film might not exist had we not created this contest and festival for them to show it in, you know. So that's a lot of the kind of stuff that we're facilitating. And by the way, if anybody wants to be a part of that spooky short film contest and festival, please go over to our website, whiteartcollective.com, and go into the projects and go to spooky shorts. I need to update the rules a little bit, but they should be basically the same. And if you have any questions about that or concerns or not sure, then please just reach out to me. But, you know, we try not to have too many rules. It's just kind of a guideline. But, you know, the idea is just to inspire people to create art. And film is something that we really need to be thinking about, because I think it's such a powerful medium. What another one of the things that we're trying to get artists to work together is we're trying to get more filmmakers making music videos, because it's just like, you know, these days people don't sit down for the long form like they used to, and obviously we don't have the resources to produce feature length films yet. We'll get there, but at the moment it'd be great if we could just start producing music videos. And we have all these incredible artists, all these incredible musicians, like the people here with me today, all brilliant stuff. There's no reason millions of people shouldn't be aware of what they're doing. And if we could create music videos for it, we could get more legs for it. And actually the Mamas and the Pepes, they do create their own music videos, which are brilliant. And they get a good amount of views, but they deserve millions and millions more. Yeah. So let's see. Then there's the, and guys, feel free to jump in here anywhere you want to add something. Another thing on the WAC collaboration and just in general, the support we have been getting from the community, we are going to put some of the lemons we've received towards a new website. We're actually working on building a website that's going to allow for us to collaborate within the website itself rather than using external file sharing and things like that. So I'm working with some really brilliant tech people and artists to create something, invent something that's going to facilitate that creativity and really streamline our ability to grow as well. Because, you know, I mean, I have to work a full-time job, and as you know, as many activists know, it's kind of hard to find the time to do all this stuff. So we got to be very creative and inventive about how we do it. But and then right after this, as we discussed, we have the WAC mixtape volume 3, which is going to be premiering. And one of our animators did a really beautiful, this is another collaboration, our animator Zorchwave, he did this awesome 3D animation for the visualization of it. And I think we've got, I don't know, Jack, how many artists we have on this one?
I don't know, a lot. It's a pretty long tip. Yeah. I think people will really enjoy it, and they'll be, I think a lot of people think we're sort of, you know, sort of, yeah, I mean, like, I'm kind of an amateur and a folk musician and everything, but there's so much talent, like, in the White Art Collective. Like, I think people won't really believe, you know, how much talent there is. And I think this mixtape is, like, you know, it's pushing 2 hours of just great music, great content. So I would really recommend everybody tune in. It's going to be fun.
Well, and I also think it's a wonderful way to get a taste of what the White Art Collective has to offer listeners and viewers and just people in general who like music and fun and nationalism all rolled into one. You know, if you can't make it to any of our other shows, you know, stop by right after PWR and listen to the mixtape, because there's going to be all different kinds of music. And like Jack said, I think some people might think that, you know, just because some of us are just coming out of the woodwork, or, you know, that doesn't mean we haven't been working on our art for a while. And even some of the most beautiful, you know, and powerful and emotional and influential songs don't have to be perfectly recorded or mixed. But we're really fortunate in that we've got classical musicians, we've got some heavy metal, we've got folk, we've got the Mamas and the Pepes. You know, we are, I call us a novelty dissident act. We are the laugh track to white nationalism. And if you don't believe me, you need to swing by and listen to some of our stuff. You know, you can find us on BitChute or Gab. But Jeff, you said we could jump in, so I jumped in. White Art Collective. You know, what's great is, you know, we keep saying we as part of the White Art Collective. And it's not like, oh, hey, you know what? I write music. I don't know if I want to join the White Art Collective. I want my stuff to be my own. And I'm saying this because that's how we felt at the beginning. Jeff's like, hey, do you want to like share your stuff with WAC? And, you know, me and the Handsome Horse, he's the other half of the Mamas and the Pepes. We're like, that seems kind of weird. I want my stuff to be my own. But really what it is that I, you know, came to learn and now I love is that it's a partnership. We're building community, Jeff. Is building community. And I really love being a part of this and being able to help other artists, you know, show you know, and showcase their talent as well. But I do have to correct Mark. When you call us the new generation, some of us aren't quite new. Some of us are a little bit older, but, you know, I want to make sure people listening know that you don't have to be, you know, in your 20s or 30s to go ahead and create some wonderful content. And Jeff, I'm going to plug here that anyone who really wants to be a part of this, we want you to. Don't just sit at home and be like, oh, this is no good. I don't know if I want to share it with anyone. You know, find White Art Collective on Twitter, or you can email them at contact@whitearcollective.com, because really the more the merrier in this, you know, shared struggle, as Mark called it. You know, we can only help each other and buoy each other up. And who knows, you know, one of your normie friends might listen to one of these, you know, these songs, and it might get them thinking. You know, I'm always thinking about that. I'm always thinking about how we can reach folks who are on the fence, who know they want to be with us, but aren't quite sure, or don't feel comfortable expressing themselves. Well, here you go. Come to a White Art Collective stream and you're going to feel like you're with family. I should stop talking now, but thank you.
No, that.
I just want to throw something out there. I wasn't being disrespectful when I was saying you're like this new wave. It was just when I was first listening to sort of nationalist music, it was very much what you would expect it to be. It was often very simplistic. It was often pigeonholed in a certain genre. And one thing I love about the new wave of nationalist music is it isn't just all the same. There's metal, there's synth wave, there are parody tracks, there are groups that rewrite rap songs or hip hop songs with white positive lyrics. And it seems to be far, far more creative and far, far more far reaching than the music scene ever used to be. And that also includes the folk music. It includes traditional, more sort of traditional forms of music. But I think that's really, really good, because I think it's going to appeal to a lot more people. And it isn't just pigeonholed in one genre like it was.
I'm not suggesting that I've been around a very long time, Mark. But no, that makes much more sense. You know, you sort of, you know, clarifying that it is, it's a new wave of artists. And again, what I'm hoping we do with this new wave is catch up the people, you know, catch up the people who are still on the beach with us. I'm trying to go with this analogy. I really am. And that's, you know, that's where the White Art Collective comes in. That's where, you know, Patriotic Weekly Review comes in. That's where Jason Kuna comes in with No White Guilt. You know, we're trying to reach more people. And, you know, one way to do it is through shows like this. And another way to do it is through music, film, and poetry. And again, I'm just really glad that, you know, that me and the Handsome Horse said, you know what, Jeff? Yeah, okay, we'll join you. And that was like almost 2 years ago now, Jeff. So I really hope we just keep growing and just keep building this community.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that's a great point on the variety, that diversity, if you will, of viewpoints and styles that we have in our spheres. And Hyreth has a lot of diversity in the kind of stuff that she does, because she is the collaboration queen. I mean, I don't know how many collaborations she's done at this point, probably like 20, but it's great because, you know, she's done collaborations with all of these different people and who do all these different styles. Hyreth, you want to speak to that at all?
Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how many collaborations I've done either. So I've done a lot. And one thing that I will say about collaborating is it's really great. It helps you build a stronger network. And it just reinforces the strength of the bonds within the community, helps the community grow. And you learn a whole lot through collaboration. And I think that it also is a way to present a message in a stronger way, whether like for instance, I'm not very good with sound production. This is something I just started learning as I started recording music like just over a year ago. So I'm trying to get better and better at that, but there's a lot of people in the White Art Collective that are much better than I am. And so when I collaborate with like synth artists that are really good at that sort of thing and synth wave style of music, it strengthens things in ways that I could not do on my own. And I can give them a voice and some lyrics and stuff, you know, to help amplify their music. So we just benefit each other, and it's not a competitive scene whatsoever. We only build each other up. We all support each other. And I think that's super important when it comes to taking our culture back, and instead of buying into this anti-white narrative that we see in the mainstream. And I think that's going to be like a huge tool that we can use to fight that, you know. So it's the same with, you know, Patriotic Alternative and what you guys are doing there and supporting one another. And it's just such a, I mean, there's so many aspects to it, because it's working together within these communities. But then it's also very important to have the support of the viewers and the people who are simply just hitting the like buttons on these content that people are putting out on YouTube or whatever, or their BitChute. They play a very important role as well. So they're part of the community in a different way, you know?
Yeah. So that's a good point. That's another thing that we try to do is knowledge share. And eventually, you know, when we get more IRL, we definitely want to facilitate more, you know, like even resources and getting people funding, the equipment they need, education and training on it. Like eventually my intention is for White Art Collective to become an artistic institution, to where you could go there and really learn your skill and, you know, hone in your craft, and take classes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, while being supported by a community of artists. But yeah, speaking of one of the collaborations that Hyreth has done, and also Mama P, they've both done some collaboration with Zurius. They've both actually done a couple songs with him, our friend across the pond. But that's also another good example of you're saying there, just, you know, the variety of, like, the Mobs and the Pepes do a certain style of music. Hyreth does a certain style of music. And then, you know, Zurius does more of the synthwave thing. But then they both went and collaborated with him and created something kind of new out of that, that really did appeal to a lot of people. The Hyreth, Keep in Mind, that one especially seemed to really land with people. It's a great track. I mean, all of them are, but that one particularly landed with folks and got a lot of attention. And that's the kind of song too. I think one of the reasons I think a lot of people were excited about that is there's no reason you couldn't hear that, you know, on Top 40 radio. You know, it's that good. It's that catchy. And it really like sticks in your head when you're, after you hear it. And also Mark Brahman, he put together a nice video for it as well. So, but yeah, that's something, that variety really is important. Speaking back to what you're saying about kind of the earlier iterations of the movement there, you know, I have very broad taste, and I also do a lot of things. I'm a musician, I'm a filmmaker, I'm a writer. So, and I basically kind of like, I like stuff that's good. I know that sounds like, well, how do you qualify that? It's not an exact science, but it's just something that comes from a genuine place, you know, and and also something that expresses the European biospirit, you know, Jason would say, the biospirit. I think that's something I think a lot about is, as I curate, because, you know, a lot of people are still carrying around with them the baggage of what we've all been kind of infected with, so to speak, of these terrible ideas, the pathogens, as Jason calls them. So, you know, and that comes through in people's art. So it's kind of this process. It's kind of a cleansing. And that's another thing, too, that we provide is we allow people to develop, you know, like if you were to try to go get... There is no institution, definitely in American society, that, like, if you're an artist, let's say you're a musician, like we all are here, they used to have kind of a developmental part of a, like a record label, you know, but there's nothing like that now. Like if you don't sell, like you're out the door, that no one's going to help you. There's nothing to support you, you know? So that's another thing that we provide is like, you can develop, you can come in not quite there yet. And, you know, we're going to give you the support to get you there, to self-actualize to the level that you can get to. So I think that's something really important that a lot of people, you just can't get anywhere else. I mean, I never have. And I've been creating and putting it out there for over 20 years, you know, and it's just, I searched high and low and never found anything like that. But yeah, that variety, I'm all about appealing to the spectrum of our people, and our people are very... we have a broad spectrum, arguably the broadest spectrum of people of different ideologies and viewpoints, ways of thinking, taste in music. So, you know, it is an interesting it's a joy and sometimes a challenge to decide what should get featured and what shouldn't, you know, based on that. But we do want to appeal to our people, like all across the spectrum of our way of thinking and being, you know, so long as it's healthy, like we said, and it's a pure expression of our biospirit.
So I did want to talk a bit about the news tonight and things that have been going on, and we can go around the group on some of these topics. But the first one is actually about a musician, a grime artist. Grime is, for those who don't live in the UK, is kind of a kind of it's a little bit like rap, or a form of rap anyway, that originated in the UK. And the man who is known as the godfather of grime is a guy called Wiley. He's basically a black rapper. Now, a few days ago, he went into an epic rant in a series of tweets on Twitter, where he began openly criticizing Jews, not white people, but Jews. And since he has done that, he has basically been attacked from all sides. He's been attacked from the press. He's lost his Twitter account. He's being investigated by the police. He previously got an award from the Queen, an MBE. They're talking about revoking his MBE because he spoke out against Jewish power. And now he's essentially got himself in a position where his entire livelihood, his musical career, everything he's built up is about to disappear. Now, it doesn't surprise me one bit that they've taken these measures, but the things he was talking about were Jewish involvement in the slave trade, Jewish power. Now, what I wanted to throw out to the group is, if Wiley had said what he said about white people and not about Jews, the same people who have deplatformed him would have been absolutely applauding him. I don't know whether you guys have heard about this, if any of you got any takes about this. Jason, if you want to jump in, but it's been massive news over here in the UK. And so far, I don't believe he's actually apologized or gone back on what he said. Whether he will in time, I don't know. But do any of you guys have any takes on this particular bit of news?
Yeah, I had a thought there. Well, it's funny that you say if he said that about white people, because another famous black guy, I think he's a musician, Nick Cannon, right? He just did something very similar on his podcast, and he said that, you know, white people were subhuman, something, I forget the exact, something like that, something terrible, right? That you can't say about any other group, without a doubt. But then he also criticized Jews, and that's when they got upset, of course. And so then he had to apologize. He walked it back. I think he had to go to a Holocaust museum. I mean, the whole nine, they did the whole thing. And another one too, Ice Cube. Now, I don't think, I'm sure he would, but I don't know if I've seen him say anything horrible about white people. I don't doubt that he's probably thinking it, but he also did the same thing. He was recently criticizing Jews. He's also walked that back. And Mort Klein, who is the head of one of these Jewish organizations, one of the many, many Jewish organizations in the United States. I think it's like the American Zionist organization or something. Anyway, he had a sit down with Ice-T, and then of course Ice Cube, and Ice Cube, easy to confuse that, right? Ice Cube, so they had a sit down, and I guess he just walked everything back, and now he's apologizing and appreciates the rich history of the Jewish people, you know, all this kind of thing. But yeah, of course. I mean, they can say this about white folks, but you definitely can't say that about Jews. And yeah, what does that tell you? It tells you everything you need to know about who's really pulling the strings.
I'll jump in too. I agree with what Jeff said, but I mean, I guess for me, it's like they're going against the narrative for now. But for how long is that going to last, just like Jeff was talking about? So to me, does it mean that they're not anti-white? I would say it doesn't mean that. Like, they, maybe it's good for us for the time being, because they're revealing that whole, like, you know, you can't criticize certain people and this is what happens when you do sort of thing. But I don't know. I feel like, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean they're on our side. So
I would say one thing, it did, didn't it cause like Jews to sort of leave Twitter for 2 days or something? It wasn't that that sparked the whole thing. So
yeah, that was the outcome. They had I think they called it something stupid, like 2 days of silence or something, so that we'd all feel so remorseful and so angry with Wiley for what he did, because they've all left Twitter for 2 days, and they've called it something like no room for Jew hatred. But it really is amazing, because when you actually look at the anti-white narrative on Twitter, a huge, huge proportion of the anti-white tweets all come from Jewish tweeters who are all verified and have little blue check marks.
Yeah, it's true. And the interesting thing too is that, you know, when they do that, they turned around and they validated the point. But yeah, like Hyreth was saying, this doesn't necessarily mean that these folks are on our side, of course, but it is interesting. It is interesting to see that happen. And I'm seeing more and more Black folks who are being critical of Jews just in general. And I think they're kind of waking up to, you know, all this institutional support. And then you see like the people who are supporting Black Lives Matter, and this woman, was it a Rosenberg, who was actually like in the high levels of BLM. And I think that's starting to raise some eyebrows probably in the Black community with all of this Black Lives Matter stuff going on, that they're probably wondering, like, why are these people running these Black organizations? You know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense if you really believe that white people or people perceived to be white should step aside and let people of color lead. Then you would think that they would be having that happen at the very least in organizations like Black Lives Matter.
There was also the issue that the UK BLM sort of criticized Israel, I think, a couple of weeks back. And I don't know if any of you remember that, but it was I saw it on Twitter anyway, that they sort of they came out in support of like Palestine or whatever, and I think that triggered a lot of people as well, like on Twitter, and maybe the BLM lost some support from Jewish people due to that as well.
Yes, well, I think they might have lost a little bit of support from the Jewish community over that, but it's very interesting to see that the Black Lives Matter movement did seem to have real legs. It did seem to be gaining major traction, especially at sporting events, especially from big corporate entities. But ever since that tweet about Palestine, things seem to have been dialed back a little bit. If ever there was a truer phrase, what's the phrase about learning who learn who rules over you, simply figure out who you're not allowed to criticize. And I think Black Lives Matter quickly realized who were the people holding their leash, and they've been firmly pulled back into line now. Now, does anyone else have any takes on that topic, or do we want to move on to the next thing I wanted to discuss tonight?
I have no takes. Oh, sorry, Jason has a take. Okay, go ahead, Jason. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, Mama, please go ahead, and then I will have something.
I actually don't have a take. I was just saying thank you for the offer, but no take. It's all you, Jason. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Well, first thing I want to say is just really quickly that how deeply I appreciate all of you and the work that you're doing. What we have always needed, what is very different from the past, is the psychological defense for the psychological attacks that are being waged against us. And we have that in the work that we're doing with Go Free and the endless witnessing of folks to the success of the doctrine, and then, as I say, just giving, being given access to $2,000 to do more there, and that demonstrates the actual success of it. We have proof of concept 10,000 times over, and what we have here is a necessity, which is the recreation of the culture by way of our artists in all forms, and it is essentially the clothing, if you will, of the the new body of a psychological defense. And that's why with the garage party, and that's why with other efforts that Mr. George and myself have engaged in, we have relentlessly and will continue to relentlessly push and encourage our artists of all stripes. It's not going to be, I know what Mark was referencing in the past, a lot of the songs and music from the past, especially came by way of, you know, National Alliance and the like, and their concomitant organizations were of a specific type, and you couldn't vary from this specific type because it was full of bravado. And if you didn't have this bizarre bravado, then it meant that you were just not legit or real enough. And so that, of course, was always nonsense. We need every type of art that we can imagine so that we can appeal to as many of our people as possible. And we needed to be infused with, as Jeff was accurately pointing out, the biospirit of the West, which means that in many cases, the actual songs or sculptures or poetry is going to be referencing our people, but not in all cases, as long as it is imbued by and suffused by that biospirit, it will come out as something that resonates with our people. And Jeff, we talked about how at some point, you know, you have this almost, if you want, or if you wish, a ghetto where everybody else in the rest of the world is wondering, what is the big party going on over there? Why are they having so much fun? Why are they, why do their lives have meaning and our lives don't? And then they'll show up. And that is one of the ways by which we will grow. It is infinitely important, this artwork. And again, of various stripes, and we should all be, you don't have to be so doctrinaire that you feign to like all forms of music or poetry or what have you that are created in this the work at WACPAC or wherever. But nonetheless, you have to embrace and endorse all of it, even if you don't necessarily like every little piece, because there will be pieces that you do like, and it will all serve our people. Kind of like there are certain foods you don't like, and yet if you eat them or others eat those foods, they will be healthier. Now, what I will say to this about criticizing the Jewish community, this is nothing new. And for groups, other non-white groups that are out there, it's happened for a very long time. There have been people within the white positive sphere who have gotten infantile ideas and have spent many tens of thousands of dollars on trying to create alliances with groups that are otherwise powerless. And so we're powerless, create an alliance with another powerless group, and you have two handicapped people or two, you know, handicapped groups unable to do anything in resistance, having nothing in common. So they have sent books out, they have sent literature out to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars to different non-white groups across the United States and Canada. And it has all been totally feckless, all this material to teach them about this one group. And then somehow that was going to change everything. Well, of course it's not. We can look back even to people acting with these short memories, acting like this is somehow new for a in particular here, a black artist or artists criticizing some Jewish financiers or whoever behind the scenes. Does nobody remember Michael Jackson, a billionaire trying to stand up against this community as a whole and being smacked down? As right after doing so, suddenly all of these sleepovers that he used to have that were shared through the media as, well, he's just an innocent soul and nothing could ever happen there, and he just loves the joy and smiles of children. And suddenly that was transformed into that he was a raging pedophile, and charges were brought and everything. So the black community in particular, which is being discussed here, they have known all along who created their the NAACP and who has created and financed these other organizations. And so every now and again, you get somebody who is just lower tier in their community, not quite as intelligent, and not knowing who they can and can't go against, erroneously perhaps in some cases, believing that Jews and white people are the same group of people, and therefore criticizing them. And then they get smacked down and we go back to business as usual. Make no mistake, there isn't going to be like a black uprising against Jewish people. It will never happen. We need to only rely on ourselves. There will be no other community that will come to our aid, no other community that will help us to recapture our destiny. There is no alliance with people that otherwise victimize us because of the jealousy and envy that is born and sown deeply into the sinew and marrow of their bones. This is nothing more than an oddity, maybe something we can giggle at because an individual here or there wasn't smart enough to keep their hand off of the electrified third rail, and I pass it back.
Well, thank you. Now, the next thing I want to move on to before we do some super chats, this is obviously something that's been discussed quite a bit in the UK. I woke up this morning and Tommy Robinson was trending on Twitter, and apparently he has moved to Spain. Now, it was a good number of episodes ago when I actually said I think he will end up retiring to Spain sooner rather than later. Now, I'm not saying that I am the prophet of the movement, but no, I'm genuinely not. Somebody had actually said to me that they'd heard on the grapevine quite some time ago that they believed that he would be doing that, that they believed that once it got to a certain point, he was going to make his excuses and leave. Now, he's saying that his family was threatened, that there was the threat of an arson attack on his property, and now he's left to live in Spain because it isn't safe here for him anymore. How do I feel about that? Well, I feel there's been a number of documentaries where huge sums of money has been raised for. There was a bus, apparently, that huge amounts of money had been raised for. There was lots of other projects that money was raised for. And many of these projects have never, ever come into fruition. I remember when we were getting Patriotic Alternative set up, we did that out of our own pockets, but a group called the Patriots Union, which was meant to be a rip-off of our group before we even got properly started, was meant to be being started by Tommy Robinson and a guy called Danny Tomo. And a large sum of money was raised for a website, which was never even launched. That just sort of disappeared. Who knows where any of that went? But is anyone shocked by this? I mean, this morning I was actually surprised, not surprised what's happened, but I was surprised to see it on Twitter because this rumor that I'd been hearing seemed to have died down. Do people think Tommy will be back? Do you think this will be the end of the TR movement now he's out in Spain? Will this mean that somebody who has often been accused of being a gatekeeper has now been removed? Will this be good for the ethno-nationalist movement here in Britain? That's a lot of questions, but if anyone wants to give any takes on this issue, it's an important one. Do we want to go around the group? Is Tommy Robinson leaving a good thing, and did you see it coming?
Well, I'll chime in here. I think that any kind of weakening of the CivNat anti-Islam scene is a good thing. I'd like to think that that's happening because his viewpoint has been discredited, as that has the CivNat viewpoint has been discredited across the West. I think what's happening right now with this whole BLM movement, it's for me, I think it's red pilling people in record numbers in a way that we could never do with the best art, the best propaganda. It's just kind of drawing clearer lines that we've ever seen before. So maybe, perhaps, hopefully, he sees the writing on the wall that the grift is up, and he's like, I'm going to go hang out somewhere else. Hopefully that's the case. But it seems to me that that's, I see kind of the American equivalent kind of, you know, what do we call them? Alt-light. I see those types, just losing legitimacy more and more. So I hope that that's what's happening. That middle ground, the squishy part, is falling away.
Any other takes, or do people want to move on? Because we do have a couple of other news.
Like, I've considered him a fraud for like a number of years and haven't been really interested. It's the same with, you know, like people like Lauren Southern sort of turned up a couple of weeks back, and it's like, you know, we've just moved. Or like, you know, Milo, what's he doing now? Like, all these guys, like, they just need to go. Like, if they go, like, it's good for us. Like, you know. I hate these guys. I almost hate these guys, you know, more than, you know, like our enemies almost, you know, like BLM and all that kind of stuff. Like, I can't stand them.
My short take is that I feel a bit indifferent to Tommy Robinson. I've never been a huge fan, but I feel like if you're pro-Israel, then you're anti-white. So I guess the best thing to do is to just try to not pay him any attention, because that's what he wants. So
I second Hyraith. That's all I have to say.
All right, Mark, well, before I just pass it over, I want to say Jeff absolutely hit the nail on the head. Every single thing that undermines abstractionist thought is magnificent. When we destroyed Sargon, it was magnificent. When we destroyed that community that he engendered or grew up around him, it was magnificent. And now that Tommy has tucked his little tail between his legs, and I'm sure it's a little tail that he tucked between his legs, he has scurried off to Spain. And I hope that he stays there forever and ever and never makes another peep. These folks, the Vagues out there, brothers and sisters, they need not to have this siren call of the abstractionist, because they have this inclination. All of us, we have this inclination to want to believe that there's something objective, some thought that matters somehow more than the organism and the spirit that creates the thought. And so the fewer of these people, the better. And the question, I guess, is, will we ever see a big grand return by Tommy Robinson, if the hour strikes that nationalists of the newer type, if they begin to really gain a foothold in places like the UK, will suddenly Tommy return like a short little emperor once did in the final hours of a country's existence and try to recapture the abstractionist point of view? I guess we are yet to see.
Well, my take on this is, I don't think it's time to run yet. If there was genuinely an arson attack on his wife's property that put his children at risk, then I think obviously that's disgusting. I find things like that despicable, and I feel terrible for his wife, his children, and I understand that he must be going through an awful lot. But the fact of the matter is, that is something that will happen to leaders of this movement. Physical attacks, assaults on us, have always been something that has happened. And as things get worse, people will up the ante. And I believe the violent pushback against us will get worse. But what is the option other than to stand and fight? And for me, and I know that there's a lot of talk at the moment about running away. There's talk about running to Poland. There's talk about running to East, other places in Eastern Europe, such as Hungary. Tommy's obviously chosen Spain. I mean, he wasn't going to go to Hungary, was he? He'll be, you know, he'll be there having his bacon and eggs on the seafront in, you know, the Costa del Sol, you know, with all the other lobsters. And he'll be enjoying that. That's his thing. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of other football lads who'll go out there. They'll see Tommy. They'll have a beer with him. That'll be his thing. But for me, the thought of leaving, the thought of deciding, well, it's time to call it a day and go and live abroad and just retire. You only retire when you've completed everything you've got to do, when the job is complete. And the job is far from complete now. And yes, we do put ourselves at great risk doing what we do, but we do what we do because it's our duty. And also, in many ways, it's a really privileged position to be able to do what we do. You know, every time I get a super chat, every time I get a donation, every time somebody comes to one of our events and shakes my hand or asks for to have their picture taken with me, I realize that it's not only my duty to do what I'm doing, but it's an absolute privilege to be in this position and to be there and to be able to work tirelessly to serve this community and to serve white well-being. And that's what I do. People often describe me as somebody in some position of leadership, but really I see myself as more somebody who's stuck in the fight, more somebody who's serving a community and working for a community rather than really leading a community. And Tommy Robinson has made huge amounts of money. He made far, far more money than I'll ever see in my lifetime. In just a year, he made, you know, £2 million in donations in a single year. Now, when you're in that kind of privileged position and you're seeing that kind of money from being in that privileged position, I think it makes it even worse that he's gone to Spain. Yes, if his family have faced this arson attack, then that is truly a terrible thing. But the fact is, the British people as a whole are going to face that and much, much worse if we don't make a change. And once you've got involved in this fight, I personally don't know how anyone can put down their tools and say, it's time to go. It's time to retire. It's time to back out. It just doesn't sit well with me. This is a duty. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's something that, you know, should run in all our veins. And I don't understand his mentality. And personally, I think if he does go and he's gone for good, he should duck out and that should be the end of it. There shouldn't be some big comeback. There shouldn't be some big fundraising drive to get him back. There shouldn't be another £2 million in donations go flying out there for him or for documentaries that will never happen. We need to get serious and we need to get behind men and women who are in it for the long haul, who aren't just in it for a short-term buzz, a money grab for thousands of pounds for a website that, you know, would cost, you know, maybe £100 to set up. We need to choose the people who represent this movement far more carefully. And I feel very, very sorry for all of the people who put such trust in Tommy Robinson, who put such trust in his work and gave money so generously to him and have seen very little return on investment. But I've also got to give a huge shout out to one particular lady, and that is Secret Sources, that is Dionne Moller. Because Dionne Moller did an awful lot of work blowing the whistle on the TR movement. She did a lot of work exposing the number of shell companies he was involved in, exposing different projects, looking into some of the claims he made about documentaries that were going to come out. She was very, very tireless in this. And I think tonight she does deserve a real round of applause because she really put her neck on the line when she left that community. She turned her back on a lot of people. She was attacked by a lot of people. She was called a lot of names. But time has proven her to be absolutely correct. So, Dionne, if you're watching or if you see this, thank you so much for your tireless work and thank you for staying strong in the face of such adversity when you exposed the TR movement for what it was. You've been proven absolutely correct. So thank you for that, Dionne. I want to just discuss one more thing very, very quickly before we move on to the Super Chats. But did you all see the cathedral in France that was torched? I think it was about a week ago now. Did we all see that the culprit has been caught? He was, in fact, a Rwandan refugee who was apparently working as a volunteer at the cathedral. Now, the reason I'm speaking a little bit slower than I would be is because I'm actually Googling this because I wanted to read you a couple of headlines about this. Now, he was an asylum seeker. Now, the Times said, failed asylum seeker says he started Nantes Cathedral fire. That's a very honest headline, isn't it? Failed asylum seeker says he started Nantes Cathedral headline. Now, this is the BBC. This is the BBC, an organization that's paid for by taxpayer money. This is their headline. Nantes Cathedral fire. Volunteer admits starting blaze, says lawyer. A church lawyer has admitted to starting a fire that devastated the cathedral in the French city of Nantes last week, his lawyer has said. Only in the second paragraph does it tell you that he was a Rwandan refugee. That is why we need to defund the BBC. They are absolute vermin. But what are your guys' takes on this? Because it's quite good that you're here tonight. You're the White Art Collective. And when it comes to art, when it comes to inspiring the Western man, I find one of the greatest inspirations for me is our architectural prowess. And I think when you go around European cities, there are few things of such beauty as our cathedrals, whether it be York Minster, St. Paul's Cathedral in London, whether it be Notre Dame in Paris or Nantes Cathedral. These buildings are absolutely inspirational. And it's very telling, isn't it, that although these buildings were built hundreds and sometimes hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they are still unrivaled in their beauty, and the modern architecture we see doesn't even come close. And when I saw that cathedral on fire, and there's been many, many arson attacks and attacks of vandalism on cathedrals all over France, it really did get to me, because it's not just an attack on Christianity, but it's an attack on white people, on white art, on our expression, on our history, on our culture. And it's being done by the very people we are told that come here to enrich us and that we should be tolerant towards. This is what tolerance leads to. This is what diversity leads to. Does anyone have any takes on this before we do the super chats?
Okay, Mama's going to jump right in on this one, because I got to tell you, Mark, here on in the United States, NBC here, the National Broadcasting Corporation, had the same headline: Church volunteer admits to arson attack on medieval cathedral in French city of Nantes. Now, and this here too, it was like four paragraphs in before, you know, before you got to, you know, the meat of the article, which was that this was, you know, a refugee, or what's the other phrase, asylum seeker. And you know, I agree with you that nothing inspires, at least me, like churches and cathedrals. And I think it goes beyond that I'm a Catholic convert, but certainly that's part of it. I mean, these buildings were built to worship a higher power. They were meant to inspire awe. When you walk into a cathedral and you look up, those spires are meant to be us reaching to God. You are supposed to feel small and insignificant and remember that there is something greater than you. And what I see from these people who are coming into our lands is that there's nothing greater than themselves, and there's nothing more painful and infuriating than recognizing that dearth of beauty within yourself and within your own culture. And that is why I think structures like cathedrals are being attacked, because they're beautiful. Castles are also beautiful and powerful. They're not burning down famous castles. They're burning down famous Catholic cathedrals. So while I agree with you that it's not necessarily an attack on Christianity, it's an attack on beauty. I mean, I just watched this program.
Sorry, just cutting there. I was saying it wasn't just an attack on Christianity. It's obviously an attack on Christianity. Sorry to clarify.
No,
it's
of course, it goes beyond
all these other things too.
Exactly, yeah. It goes way beyond, and it's an attack on beauty. I mean, I just watched this program, Why Beauty Matters, Sir Roger Scruton, and it, you know, it's available on YouTube. And it was just amazing how he was able to effortlessly eloquent gentleman, able to encapsulate this modern push toward ugliness in art and architecture, saying, well, that's beautiful because I say it's beautiful, but also just in fact that, you know, it's sort of there are so many people nowadays, in my experience, that just hate beauty because when they look at themselves, all they see is ugly. It's a reminder of what's missing in your own culture, or, you know, or your own, you know, soul or biospirit. When you see something beautiful, you have to confront the ugly within yourself. And if you can't, burn it down.
Yeah, that was, that's definitely very affecting to me, these attacks on these cathedrals. And that's one of the reasons I started the White Art Collective in general, is just the general attacks on our culture, on our art. You know, we've been under this culture of critique for decades now. And that's one of our, that I read there in the initial missions of the White Art Collective, is to preserve. And obviously in a situation like this, it's unfortunate that we've become so soft that we would even consider putting a failed, you know, asylum seeker, the nicest way to put it, in charge and in one of our most precious cultural artifacts. And another thing too is, like, I think there was like this organ, this like special organ that's 400 or 500 years old that was, you know, damaged beyond repair, or I mean hopefully they can repair it, but it was damaged badly, you know. And that's just another level to it, not just the cathedral, of course, the beautiful architecture and the sanctity of it, but then also the musical element of it. And it's just so absurd that we've let ourselves get so soft and indoctrinated that we would let someone be the steward of that. And when they look at that, this Rwandan, this, I mean, this thing, it's just a big object, a big blob, you know, it doesn't care about it. There's no connection to it. You know, whereas if, you know, when we look at that, we see this incredible creation that itself creates beauty and helps us to transcend, as Mama was saying, you know, that those reach up to God, like the design of it. And actually one other thing, just like Bach, I picked Bach as my kind of the avatar, and he's the kind of the avatar of the White Art Collective. And he was always creating for divinity, you know, like it was a musical creation was a religious experience for him, which is why, you know, it was so inspired. That's why what he created was so incredibly beautiful and transcendent. But yeah, these kinds of things are devastating. And, you know, I want us to get to a point to where we can talk sense into people and make them realize again, just how valuable these things are to us and how crazy it is that we would give someone who's not even an accepted asylum seeker access to something this valuable to us. You know, I think we're at a point where we just have to experience that pain to remember that, like, you know, we tend to project ourselves onto other people, like, oh, everyone's a sensible person who recognizes the value of this. No, they don't. They don't care. Obviously, they hate it. They want to burn it to the ground, you know? So, unfortunately, I think we have to go through this period of remembering this to harden up so that we will protect our cultural artifacts moving forward.
Does anyone else have any takes on this?
If no more of the Whack Pack does, perhaps they're looking for their mute button. I'll add this, that the anti-whites of any race destroy things like our churches. And by the way, the Mama mentioned they're going after the churches, not necessarily the castles. It's a lot harder to get into a castle and burn it down. A church will pretty much just, oh, you love God, you love Jesus, and you want to donate your time, please come on in. You can, yes, of course, work into the night while no one is here. We trust you implicitly. You praise Jesus. The same thing can't be said for, obviously, the palaces and the church and the castles across Europe. There is a much more rigorous background check than just saying that you love Jesus. But often the people are not left alone in these places because of the absolutely invaluable, just well beyond value and riches inside of these places. And it would be easy to just pocket them and walk away. But the other thing that I want to make just really, I want to state, I think is really important, is that anti-whites, their objective is to inflict harm on us. And our expressions are us. So when they look at these things, when they look at whether it be, you know, the castle or whether it be the way we were developing and building, constructing our buildings, where they resonated with us in the United States, for example, during the Industrial Revolution, we can still look at these things. We can still feel that great awe, that majesty, that magic. And that's why we feel the same sort of sentiment, that resonance with whether it's a Christian institution or building that was constructed, or whether it was a temple to one of the Greek gods. We still feel that resonance because it is our biospirit and expression there. It is us. It is us manifested in the real world. That is, ladies and gentlemen, that's where the magic is, between where that biospirit is and then that thing that appears on the planet, that space in between, that gap, that's where the real magic is. So that is what anti-whites are attacking and endeavoring to destroy. Now, when we see these things across the West, these new buildings going up that are hideous to us, I think this is the final point I make. We really need to remember that it's not these things are not objectively hideous. They are hideous to us because they don't resonate with our biospirit. To the other races of people that are creating these things, that are paying for these things, they resonate with them. That hideousness is their beauty. So I think also when it comes to the final point is, when we see white anti-whites, essentially what we see there is people who see the resonance inside of themselves with the things that are beautiful, and they invert it for the purpose of harming what they know is wholesome and salubrious for the members of our race. And that's why we see, and we'll always see, and it will always be predictable, that they will endeavor. They asked this guy, Mark, I looked up on Reuters, and they asked him, why did you do it? And I don't know, they claim here on the Reuters story that he just refused to give a reason. I doubt that. I'm sure he said it's because white people. It's because it's their creation. It represents them. And he says it in so many words. But of course, that would contradict the anti-white narrative and undermine the effectiveness of it. And they're not going to be reporting that. So we'll never get to know. We can just infer, those of us who are intelligent enough, what his motivations were. But I pass it back.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about this. When you're at school and you saw a child producing something that was really beautiful, a really wonderful drawing or a sculpture out of clay or anything that was an artistic expression, can you remember there would always be an angry child, or not always, but sometimes there'd be an angry child who would be so annoyed that they would want to destroy or damage or deface the beautiful piece of artwork being produced by the gifted child. And that would often come from some kind of deep-seated jealousy and frustration, because the child who was destroying the beautiful work of art wasn't capable of producing that himself. He wasn't capable of doing something that magnificent. So he or she felt a feeling of anger, a feeling of jealousy, and wanted to tear down the piece of art or the creation that he or she could never produce. And I often see that when you see somebody like this Rwandan failed asylum seeker attacking this beautiful building. Well, that one building is more magnificent, is more awe-inspiring, is more culturally worthwhile than anything that any sub-Saharan African has ever created. In fact, all sub-Saharan African creations pale, put together, pale into comparison to that one cathedral. And you must understand that somewhere deep inside some of these people, there must be a burning resentment that comes from a feeling of not being able to match the civilization that they're surrounded by, because they've been taken out of something and placed into something so much better, so much more advanced, that they must feel so out of place. And for some of them, it must be overwhelming. For some of them, it must be awe-inspiring. But for some of them, like this individual, it must create a feeling of intense anger, hatred, and jealousy. And that has manifested itself in this vicious, cowardly, anti-white attack. But I think that's a bit of food for thought there, and that's just my personal take. But we'll go and do some super chats. Jacob Patriotic gave £5. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, "Hope you and the family are all doing well, Mark. Will we be seeing a PA youth branch in the future?" Well, the family are doing fantastically. Sophia's just had her first birthday, which was absolutely wonderful. And you got to see her at the beginning of the show. A PA youth group. I don't really think there's a need for a PA youth group, because we all seem very united. And I've seen youth groups in the past, and they always seem to divide a movement. But I don't think there's any division along grounds of age within Patriotic Alternative. We're all going paintballing together at the weekend. People of all ages. We attend hikes with people of all ages, from as young as 10 to people over the age of 70. I just don't think there is that age divide, and there shouldn't be either. But thank you for the super chat. Serena JB gave £3. Thank you very much. She said, "Good to see some of our cultural icons on PWR. This part of our community is so important for morale." Exactly. That was just what I was saying. Thank you so much. Miss Britannia gave $10. Thank you very much. And she said, "I was discussing with Laura the possibility of having a white art page on the PA website. In my normie life, I'm a published author and would love to create it. Would it be possible, do you think?" Well, it certainly would be possible. You'd have to speak to Laura, because she's in charge of the website. But I certainly wouldn't want to be stepping on the toes of these good people. maybe you could get involved with the White Art Collective, and Patriotic Alternative could link to the White Art Collective, because I certainly don't want to be drawing any attention away from their fantastic and absolutely necessary work. Well, Syrup,
maybe yeah. Something maybe if you did something like that, I mean, we could like send stuff your way, or you know, some, there might be a way to where, you know, people who are coming to your site, we could help you to curate that or something. Just a possibility on things of that
look,
nature.
I'd like to work with you, and I certainly don't want to be doing anything that would drive traffic away from you. That's the important thing. It's the one thing about Patriotic Alternative is you'll see a lot of organizations within the wider movement that are desperate to keep things for themselves. They're desperate to drive traffic to them, only to them. They don't want to make links. We're the very opposite of that. We have people on from different shows, different organizations, and we're constantly trying to make friends and build the community and grow the community. And I certainly wouldn't want to do anything that drove any views away from you guys, because the work you do is so important. And, you know, we would love to collaborate with you in the future. Syrup gave
£5. We each have the same ethic, though. I was just going to say, like, we love working with anybody and everybody.
Thank you. Syrup gave £5. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, so-called music and art made by those anti-whites is butt ugly, and so are they. What's wrong with their faces? Thank you very much, Syrup. The Thin Red Line gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, art played an important role in subverting the West. We need pro-white art to heal. Hail the White Art Collective. Thank you very much. I'm not sure if art played a role in subverting the West. I think art was subverted, and we went from having the most magnificent and inspiring art to seeing art subverted by those who wanted to put madness on a pedestal rather than excellence. Mr. Bloom gave $20. Thank you very much. Hey, Mark. Did you see that the elderly white man who was attacked by Jaden Hayden in the nursing home died? According to the National File, his health declined more and more after the attack, and now people are calling for Hayden's head. Do you think the death penalty should be used to rid the world of this scumbag? Well, let's go around the group. I'm going to give a one-word answer. Yes. What does everybody else think?
I support that.
You're here.
Yep.
Yes, of course.
Well, we have 6 yeses, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's that's the kind of case that genuinely upsets me as well. There was also a case of a black daycare worker who smothered to death a white baby girl in her care. And the video footage showed the white baby girl furiously kicking her legs, desperately trying to escape as this black woman pushed the pillow over her face. You become hardened to these stories the more you read and the more you see, but that genuinely upset me. And these monsters who commit these crimes, the only thing that should be left for them is death. They shouldn't ever, these people should not be given a reprieve. They are absolute monsters. And let's face it, if white people were doing this to people of color, it would be the death penalty, quite simply. We know the way we're treated, but sadly, I should imagine that there will be some mitigating circumstances and he won't get the sentence he deserves. The Zed blog gave $50. Thank you very much for such a generous donation. He said, good to see Mama and the Pepes here. All the best. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much. Damien Demento gave £30. Thank you very much. Generous donation there. Thank you for your support. He said, evening, Mark. Please, can you ask the White Art Collective who their musical, art, and poetry inspirations were growing up? Yourself and Jason, too, if we have time. PA, 14 words. Well, thank you very much, Damien. Let's go around the group. We'll start with Jack, and we'll go around from there, ending with Jason and myself. Who were your inspirations growing up?
Oh, my goodness. That's a huge question. I mostly listened to rock and roll growing up. I guess my first big influence was probably like Guns N' Roses and maybe Nirvana, and but after that, you know, I got tired of music, you know, going into the noughties, and I started to go backwards, I guess, all the way back to maybe, you know, early sort of Americana, And but yeah, I like a lot of things, but yeah, to the next.
That's definitely a big question. I guess I'm more influenced by 90s music. So the grunge scene, Nirvana, Mazzy Star is a big one, Radiohead, all of that kind of stuff. The Smiths were very big influence on me. And then, like Jack said, it sort of worked its way back from there. And I grew to love like the 50s style doo-wop kind of harmonies, the background harmonies or the backup harmonies. I love that stuff. It just sounds very white to me. And yeah, I mean, that's all I have to really say about that. So to you, Mama.
Well, I got to tell you that the stuff I listened to growing up, while it influenced my life at the time, has absolutely nothing to do with the music we now create. I listened to pretty much everything growing up. My mom was a hippie, so I listened to folk music. I listened to rock music. I did a whole chunk of my life with show tunes and a lot of goth stuff, Bauhaus. But none of our music is going to sound like that. Our music now is... goodness, it's mostly blues based, but it depends on the song. We've got rock songs and folk songs too. So I've got to say that right now my music is mostly influenced by my emotional reaction to the news. And then whatever comes out is what comes out, whether it's folk or shouting or more like a show tune. So I guess it's good to have that kind of a diverse, varied background with music, so that way I can, you know, sort of translate whatever I'm feeling at the moment with what's going on in the world into something that is hopefully kind of sort of musical. And that's all I have to say about that. Jeff?
Well, that's a big question, as everyone pointed out. But I grew up really liking ballads, kind of a romantic, kind of a hopeless romantic. But I used to love like the Righteous Brothers, like Unchained Melody, and Love of a Lifetime by Firehouse, for anybody who remembers that 80s band. But then when I got into my, you know, my teenage years, I started listening to the 90s stuff like Tool and Primus. Les Claypool, bass player for Primus, made me want to play the bass because he had such a unique style. And so from there, I just started expanding. I got into classic rock. I love a lot of Americana. I kind of do like my music now is kind of a Tom Petty thing, but I love classical. I love country, you know, I love a lot of country, the older stuff, the contemporaries, not even really country, but yeah, pretty much anything and everything at this point, even electronica too. So, I mean, there's something good in almost every genre, I think, but I'll pass that on to Jason.
Well, I guess there are many different layers that one can be influenced on and toward. For me, probably the one that has the greatest effect was the music that transported me spiritually. And of course that was the classical greats, Amadeus, Mozart, and Vivaldi, and Beethoven, Brahms, Chopin, Bach, list goes on. I'll pass it on to Mark.
Well, it's quite interesting because I believe it was Jack who said the same as I'm going to say. When I first really got into music, I was into Guns N' Roses. I thought they were absolutely amazing, and I just listened to their albums again and again and again, and there seemed to be so many layers to the music. I could just listen to those songs and almost hear something new in them each time. I think I knew almost every single Guns N' Roses song off by heart at one point. I've seen them live twice as well, so I do like them. But strangely, and I think Jack said this too, that I kind of burnt myself out at some point with music, and I just found I wasn't really enjoying music anymore, to be honest. And I rarely listen to music at all anymore, unless I'm sort of doing long drives. But every now and again, I will break out the Iron Maiden or the Guns N' Roses, bang it in the car and listen to it at an obnoxious volume as I'm driving through the countryside.
I heard you were an Iron Maiden fan as well, but yeah, I always preferred Guns N' Roses, but yeah.
I love the complexity. Songs like Estranged by Guns N' Roses, yeah. The complexity of that song. It's just, the whole song is just, it's just so incredible. And as a as a young guy, it really, really blew me away.
Yeah.
I do, though. One thing I'll say, though, is, and I find this kind of strange, is that some of the music I used to listen to when I was younger, I now look back at the lyrics and sort of the themes of the music, and I find them quite childish and embarrassing. And it's almost that kind of puts me off, because it puts me off listening to it if I now find the lyrics sort of embarrassing or outdated. I don't know if any of you suffer from that. But
this is a really big topic that we talk about all the time, like how much sort of stuff that we really liked, you know, the tunes, like how much it's been sort of corrupt. You know, when you get red pilled, like, what can you listen to anymore? Like, you look at everything through that lens, and so much of it is just degenerate, or, you know, it doesn't mean, when you listen to Guns N' Roses when you're like a teenager or something, and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But like, you look at it now, it's like, oh yeah, it's kind of degenerate. The tunes are great, but, you know, and so much of the music for the last, you know, what, 50 years is basically, it's kind of like that. So.
Yeah. You know, and another, speaking of earlier, like things being an expression of our biospirit, you're talking about its complexity. And I think that the way we like to compose music, whether it's a classical composition or a rock song, like you're talking about, I think of also like Queen, you know, those guys were all like really brilliant in the way they, like a song like Bohemian Rhapsody or something, you know, and there's other bands too. I was talking about Tool, like they have incredible composition to their music. But I think that's something that's very much indicative of people of European descent. Not every song, some of my favorite songs are the simplest songs in the world, but we also love that, like that crazy complexity. And we have some artists who do stuff like that. We got neoclassical, Volk Dissident. Mama, what's the thing about Volk Dissident?
Oh yes, of course. Volk Dissident is a genius. He's the first, you know, since you know, stepping off the fence into the white positive sphere, Volk Dissident was the first neoclassical composer that I heard on a Saturday Night Live stream with you know, White Art Collective. And I was blown away by the fact that there were so many different genres being represented by the White Art Collective. So if the music you like to listen to when you were growing up, you listen to again and you're like, oh my gosh, that's awful. That's degenerate. Like Jack was saying, or it no longer resonates with you. This is where White Art Collective comes in. You know, like I'm thrilled to have, you know, been introduced to so much of this wonderful new music and new artists through the White Art Collective. And you know, that's why I'm excited about the mixtape too, because guys, I haven't heard it. I have it all set up to stream for you guys right after PWR. But it's a way that even folks who are resident artists at the White Art Collective, you know, we get to hear all this new stuff. And hopefully, you know, our children or our grandchildren, they'll be growing up and saying, oh, what did you listen to when we were growing up? Oh, I was listening to Jack White. I was listening to some High Wraith, some Amalek, some Volk Dissident, some Four Null, depending on the day, you know. And that's, you know, that's really what we're hoping for, is that it's always going to be a positive, white positive message, or just a white positive feel from artists who are on our side, who get us. And yeah, I think I'm babbling now, but yeah, woohoo, White Art Collective.
Woohoo.
Well, thank you. Woohoo. The Thin Red Line gave $3 and said, I haven't followed the Tommy Robinson saga lately. Has he fled? It appears he has, and we covered that earlier, but thank you so much for the donation. Supernova808 gave £3 and said, Mark, your recently released Erkenbrand speech was first class. Well, thank you very much. Have you considered inviting your Erkenbrand colleague, Nikolai Nerling, onto PWR? Keep up the good work. I haven't, but I certainly could, and thank you for the donation. JK gave €10. Thank you very much, and said, what a blessing to have been introduced to White Art Collective. As a musician and creative artist, they have reached out straight to my heart. I'll be emailing them and making contact after the show. Well, thank you very much, and thank you very much for the donation. Sam Sheridan gave $10. Thank you very much. He said, I see that Dr. Andrew Joyce is back on the scene with a BitChute account called Occidental Joyce. Are there any plans to have him on PWR? His work on the Small Hat Gang is indispensable and helped me clarify so much of what is wrong with the West. Our institutions are in the hands of people who hate us. Again, if Andrew Joyce wants to email me, I would certainly schedule him in. Blunderbuss gave $10. Thank you very much. He says, does Ezra Levant have a petition or to sign or a fundraiser set up for Tommy Robinson? If he doesn't, I will be shocked. Thank you very much. And Blunderbuss gave another $10 and said, reminder that the French authorities ruled out arson in Notre Dame before the flames were even put out. Very impressive speed. Yes, indeed. And if you look, there is a map somewhere. Let me just Google this and I'll put this in the chat. If you put in, I think it's something like attacks on French churches. There is actually an interactive map of attacks on churches in France. Now, I'm trying to find the actual link for this particular interactive map, but it is really, really good. And it basically, if anyone can find it, put it in the chat. I would be really. Oh, I found it now. Here it is. It's a very, very good site, and I'm just popping it in the chat there. It shows all the different attacks on churches in France, and they are listed by arson, acts of aggression towards people in the church, vandalism, and other types of attack. So you can actually see how commonplace attacks on Christian churches are all over France. And when you first see the map, I'm pretty sure that you will be absolutely shocked by the number of flags on it, because you can't actually see very many parts of France for the density of these little flags all over the map. So please do check that out. I'm just dropping that in the chat again so you can see what I'm talking about. And the final super chat is from the Thin Red Line. He gave $3. Thank you very much. And he said they want to erase our culture and then they want to erase us. Indeed. Thank you very much. And we do have some questions as well. Adam asked, would the panel agree with the idea statement that the French legal system / government has de facto devalued the irreplaceable history burnt at Nantes Cathedral to £1,336 and 10 years in prison? Yes, I do. I don't think that is anywhere near the amount of money. In fact, I don't really think you can put a price really on losing an organ of that age. And I don't think you can really give a great enough deterrent to these people, because 10 years in prison wouldn't be a massive deterrent to those kind of people. What does the panel think? Do you think the French government and the state have devalued Nantes Cathedral and the organ by putting such a low value on the damage caused?
All of our beauty is being devalued every time we invite these people into our countries, or rather just accept them. So the fact that, that was eloquently stated by the Super Chat questioner, but it's horrifying. This is priceless things we are losing, and not just this architecture, but our sense of liberty and freedom of association. What they're taking from us is priceless. And, you know, the more we think about that, accept that, believe it, and act like we believe it, I think the sooner we're going to be able to move on. But yeah, there's no way any of these, you know, acts of violence or aggression can be reduced to, you know, a handful of years in prison or a couple bucks. It's inexcusable, you know, barbarism.
I completely agree with Mama and with Mark. This is totally priceless. And as Jason was stating earlier, he did a really good job tonight of summing up the fact that different aspects of, or different types of music and different types of architecture and art speak to different aspects of the European soul, or biosphere, as he would call it. And he did a really wonderful job of summing that up. And so that's what it's doing. I mean, these are ways that we express our, like, who we are deep down at its core. And when it's destroyed, it's it is priceless. So it's completely horrible the way they treated that.
Yeah, the only way to make it right is to deport him forever. And yeah, and again, just get people serious about protecting our artifacts. Like, again, we're going to have to feel that pain, it seems like, in order to realize, you know, because these things are hundreds and sometimes thousands of years old, and you can't, you know, you can't recreate that sometimes. Sometimes it's lost forever. So we got to get serious about protecting and preserving our cultural heritage.
I'm sort of hard line on these issues, and I'm sort of a proponent of, I guess, capital punishment. And I don't like taxpayers to have to pay for prison sentences for, you know, rape gangs or stuff like that. So I really, yeah, if I was in charge, I wouldn't even deport that person. I would.
Easy, Jack. Oh, just kidding.
Sorry, bud. I would go full execution. Just saying.
Well, we're not on YouTube, so you can say that. Anyone else have any takes?
In Minecraft. Just kidding.
In Minecraft.
Of course. I think
he would burn them. He would sweep them. Clean them up.
Burn them. They had the burn.
We do have some more questions. Anti Weimar Roy said, "Hi, Mark. Do you see race relations getting worse as time goes on, or do you think things will normalize again in the coming years?" I see things getting far worse. I think the further we get to being a minority, the worse things will get. But also, I think that groups like Black Lives Matter now see that they're pushing at an open door. And because they see that, and because there have been numerous precedents set, one of the massive precedents was the Jussie Smollett case, where he fabricated the most ridiculous story. And when he was caught out lying, there was no punishment whatsoever for it. So for them, it's literally like the government have said, or the authorities, the media, everyone, the entire establishment has said to these people, do as you wish. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as it's specifically anti-white. You can make things up, you can fabricate tales, and even if it all goes wrong and you're exposed and it doesn't work out the way that you think it's going to, there's not going to be any real punishment. And once you set things up in such a one-sided way, the anti-white narrative will only snowball. It'll only get bigger, faster, more deadly. And until something stops it and it comes to a crashing halt one way or another, it will just carry on. And I don't think there is any way that this could go back to being normal, because things have moved too far now. And once things have moved this far, I just can't see any form of equilibrium being found without major societal upheaval. Does anyone else have anything to say about this? Or maybe somebody on the panel does think things will normalize in the next few years and all this will die down. I don't know, but I certainly don't.
I think that what we're seeing here in the States, and obviously this is spreading elsewhere, but we have some of the worst demographics besides South Africa. So I see this just getting exponentially worse. And yeah, like you said, they're pushing at an open door and they know that now. They thought they were fighting against the system, and then they got all this funding from all of these you know, international conglomerates, and all they get all of, I mean, the government just literally will not punish anybody. All these Antifa too, like, you see that they get arrested, but then they just get released almost immediately. I think we're about to see propaganda and acts of violence against us on a level that we've never seen before. And it's going to become so absurd that just nobody who has, you know, two brain cells to rub together is going to be able to ignore it, probably in the very near future. Because I mean, the number of stuff, the videos I see online of just attacking people, I know those are anecdotal, but it's just, happening everywhere. And I hear more and more regular people who just a couple years ago thought I was some kind of mean guy for my viewpoints on things are starting to come around to my way of thinking and our way of thinking. So I don't think there's any going back like this, because you see too, is like these generations of minorities have been so steeped in this hatred. Like they really believe this, like Nick Cannon, when he said white people are like these, you know, subhuman species or whatever the hell he said, he believes that. I mean, you know, this goes back into the IQ differences. Like they believe this stuff. There's not a rational thought there. It's just like, you know, so there's no going back. The younger generations are, they're not ever going to want to live in peace. And so, yeah. And I think it's a good thing for us because there's not going to be any kind of middle ground. Ultimately, I'm more positive and white pilled than I've ever been, because I know that it's just kind of a natural progression that things have to get to a certain point for a critical mass of our own people to wake up to make a significant change.
But they have to wake up, and they have to wake up soon. Did you see that beautiful baby on Mark's lap at the beginning of this program? Things, people have to wake up. We have to protect her, her brothers, her sisters, her cousins, you know, like her classmates. When she get like, there's no time to lose. There's no time to lose. So, you know, I have to, you know, very begrudgingly agree that it is going to get worse before it gets better. It's already getting worse. I want to pray about it, and I want to support anyone who can do something about it. But there are some of us who our job is to protect those little babies. And, you know, I think that we all have a role in this, and that, it upsets me. It upsets me to no end. But when I'm on a stream like this with you wonderful people, Jason especially, Mark especially, what Patriotic Alternative is doing, at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, when I do start to feel black-pilled, like, you know, Jeff was saying, you know, you go through Twitter or whatever and you see just one video after another. And, you know, I can't watch those, right? I can read the description. I can't watch any of them or I will lose my mind. But I know, though, that I come here and I'm like, there are people who want to do something about it. Thank God. And I'm going to pray for folks who can stand up and do that. And I'll be right here at home supporting you and keeping the home fires burning.
Anybody else? Or no, I'll just quickly say, Mark, that the one thing I want to point out is this financial gifter here said, will things, and then gives this false dichotomy in a demonstration of being infected with meme pathogens and white noir. Will race relations normalize? They have never been normal in your life, irrespective of how old you might be, financial gifter. Thank you for the question. But the fact that you would call at some point something before right now a normalized race relation, when what we had was a detente that was occasionally detonated, a detente where anti-white non-whites were happy to be paid off for the peace and white people were happy to pay them off to have that peace. That is not a normal situation. And the fact that white people can be so sick with meme pathogens and white noir that they could say, when do we get to go back to just paying them off? Allowing society to discriminate against us in their favor and undermining our community in favor of their communities to empower their communities. Can we go back to that normal state again? No. And the fact that we also predicted this, all of us, that this would be the general ratcheting up, the decade when it would be ratcheting up. So yeah, it's going to get a lot worse. And then the one good respect of that, or aspect of that, is that it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to tell the vagues out there, brothers and sisters, exactly what's going on. So I'll pass it back to Mark. I know we got more, unless Jack or Hyreth had wanted something to add to that.
Well, we do have a couple of final super chats, which obviously we need to get through. Kevin Savage gave £5. Thank you very much. And he said, really enjoying this broadcast. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Damien Demento gave £10. Thank you very much. And he said, I'm getting sick of Macron and France allowing/escorting migrants across the channel. How would you approach this with Macron and Merkel if you could? Try them both for treason. That is what should be done. These people have done as much or more than any other politician to see our beautiful continent flooded with people who have no right to be here and who are coming here under false pretense, usually to do us some form of harm. At one time in our history, to allow enemies to flood into our country, to allow a fifth column to form on European soil, would have been something that was unthinkable. These people are nothing but traitors. Ryan354 gave £5. Thank you very much, my friend. And he said, and this is a question for the White Art Collective, not me. He says, do you guys know of the Second Carolina String Band? They make fantastic remakes of old American folk music on their YouTube channel. It would be great to get them on board, as they definitely seem to be our guys.
No, never heard of them. What was it? It's Carolina String Band?
Yes. South Carolina String Band.
South Carolina String. No, I haven't heard of them, but sounds great. I like the sound of it. We should check them out. I'll look into it.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And that takes us to the end of the Super Chat. But we do have one last question, and it's a quick one for Jason. And it is, question for Jason, do you think that we can maintain a racial and national identity at the same time? This will have to be...
National essentially is racial. And I guess the question really is, can we have a look at ourselves as a global people with many countries? And the question is, yes, that's the only way we are going to save ourselves, as viewing ourselves as a global people with many countries. And it presupposes that to achieve that, we are going to cherish and celebrate the heterogeneity between the different countries. So the English will be more English, Southerners will be more Southern, the Polish will be more Polish, and we will love that, because as white people, we have demonstrated throughout history that we love the countless variations and hues of the biosphere of the West that comes through us in our many countries as it is lain upon the environments in which we have lived. So that's the answer to that.
Thank you very much. And that about brings us to the end of the show. And I've left a little bit extra time than usual because we have four guests. So if you guys all want to give us your outro, tell us where to find you and how we can support your excellent work. I've absolutely loved having you on tonight. It's been so long since we've had a big sort of group show like this. And it's always very, very fun. And I sometimes feel like the time flies by. I often say that. It really has done tonight. And this is the kind of show where I could have really done with a third hour, because I feel like we're only just sort of scratching the surface, because with the four of you, I would love to almost do a show with each one of you so I can get to know each one of you individually. And so each one of you would have had more exposure to our wonderful audience. But the 2 hours are sadly drawing to a close. So if you guys can give a little bit of an outro for each one of you, and just, as I say, plug your work and how we can help support you financially, that would be wonderful.
Let's start with Jack and come back around to me. What do you guys say?
Okay, boss.
Okay, you can find me on, I lost my YouTube, along with White Art Collective also lost its YouTube. We both lost it on the same night back in, I think it was just before Christmas. We got like mass flagged by Antifa. But you can find me on BitChute, just or SoundCloud, or a Twitter at Jack White, as you see my name right there without the space. And I would just tell people, like, you know, tune into our like little after party after this show and hear some good tunes, and you're going to be impressed. You know, we have a really nice little pro white music scene, and we got a lot happening. I love the Whack Pack, and I'm just happy to be involved with my friends here. Yeah, tune in. Irith?
All right. It's an honor to be here this evening. So thank you, Mark, for having us. You can find me on YouTube if you search Hyrith Music. On Twitter, it's HyrithMusic9. And I just wanted to say it's a huge honor. And thank you so much to Jason of No White Guilt as well, because he's a huge supporter of us, and he has been for quite a while. And he does a show every Friday night, Chuck Martel's Garage Party. So I highly recommend checking that out. He always plays some really good artists. And I also just dropped a song yesterday called Sacrifice, and it's very relevant because people like Mark and Jeff and Jason and Laura Towler, I wanted to say for her, and also like Emily Yukis, who show their face and you know, speak the truth. They are sacrificing a lot for all of us in doing that, and they deserve so much support. It's just crazy. So, and we also have a interview coming up with Emily, which I know you had her on, Mark, recently. But me and Jeff did an interview with her for Our Culture, so stay tuned for that as well. And I'll pass it to Mama.
Oh, my goodness. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much, Mark. Jason, always a pleasure. And guys, remember that we all can be found on Gab, too. I know that we're still all sort of Twitter-centric, and I am, ugh, no Parler. Thank you, but no. So also stop on over to Gab. We are Mamas Pepes, all one word, .com. On Twitter, we're Mamas Pepes. On Gab, we're Mamas Pepes. On BitChute, I think we're Mamas Pepes. And you can also, of course, find us at whatearecollective.com. And yeah, guys, check out, if you haven't heard yet, Jack White's music or High Wraith's music, head on over to, you know, YouTube for High Wraith, BitChute for both of them. White Art Collective has a BitChute where you can catch up on all these old wonderful shows we've been talking about. And I definitely want to invite folks to listen to the Mamas and the Pepes too, of course. But right after this show, over on the White Art Collective D Live channel, I'll be playing that mixtape, so you'll get to hear a little bit from a whole bunch of artists. And it's always fun in the chat there too. I mean, not as much fun as PWR chat, but you know, we do what we can. And yeah, this has really been wonderful. And I'm happy to come back again, Mark, whenever you want to talk and learn more about the Mamas and the Pepes. Or just talk about American politics, or, you know, I'm around, you know, so just reach out. Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to thank my fellow artist here for coming on. Guys, thank you so much for being on this with me on this first voyage onto PWR. These are all brilliant artists here, and I highly recommend you having them on and speaking to each of them individually, because they're fascinating people, they're good folk, and they're incredibly talented, and we're honored to have them as part of the White Art Collective. And of course, thanks to you, Jason and Mark, for this. It's an honor to be on PWR for the first time. I've been listening and following the show for a long time, back in its previous iterations, and I have the utmost respect for the work you guys are doing. Jason was a huge supporter of the White Art Collective from the very beginning. He and Jared have been incremental in helping us get to the level that we have, to where we could even get on PWR. So, you know, kudos. And again, I have the utmost respect for the work you're doing with PA. I think it's brilliant, and a bit of a blueprint for other countries as well. Definitely, I think we could learn from the kind of stuff, the kind of activities and actions you guys are doing there. We could learn some things here in the States, and we could have that positive exchange back and forth across the pond, because I think that you guys are our actual greatest ally, given that, you know, we were birthed from the UK from the beginning. But yeah, so you can find us whiteartcollective.com. Please follow the get on our email list, because who knows what's going to happen, you know, with all of this. I sense that there's going to be a lot of censorship coming down before the election. We're on BitChute, as Mama P said. Definitely check out our DLive. We got that coming up right after this with the mixtape. Go over there and follow us. Our Saturday Night Live stream is a good way to find out that's our flagship show, as Mama said. And I recommend checking that out on Saturday, 9 p.m., and all of our other shows as well. But that's where you can kind of get in and get a sense of what we're about, hear some great music. We're on Twitter at White Collective, at White Art Collective on Gab. We're on Wire. We're also on Telegram. But yeah, again, thank you so much, you guys, and thank you to the audience. And email me if you're interested in being a part of it. Contact at whiteartcollective.com. Thank you guys again.
Thank you so much. Jason, do you want to give a brief outro and say who's going to be on tap?
Don't know yet about who taps Saturday, though. Friday, Chuck Martel. Saturday, taps. Sunday, Going Free. Make sure you don't miss it. And folks, follow these magnificent musicians and the work they're doing. They are growing exponentially, and the talent is magnificent. If you're talented and you want to participate, reach out to Jeff, as he just said. A big thank you to everyone who showed up on this panel. Of course, our great leader, Mark Collett, and everybody that showed up today in the live chat. And we'll see you all soon. Pass it back to you, Mark.
Well, thank you. I'm going to have to give a very quick outro because we're running over. We have one last super chat for Wayne Scully. It's $5. Thank you very much. And he says, don't leave before I get this in, please. Great show. Thank you all. I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. We have some big news. Myself and Laura Towler will be the hosts of Patriotic Talk on Monday because Chris is away. So myself and Laura will be doing an extra show on Monday on a different channel. That is going to be very good. And that just leaves me to say very, very quickly, please get in touch with the Telegram user at UKWWG, at UKWWB if you want to come to the paintballing this weekend in Yorkshire. But thank you for being here. First, I'd like to say a massive thank you to the White Art Collective. You guys are absolutely incredible. I've loved every minute of it. You are an amazing inspiration to us all. Your energy, your positivity, and the wonderful music that you create. This is exactly what our movement is about. You are the kind of people we really need. This has really energized me tonight, and I've had an absolutely wonderful night. I'd love to have you guys back on again in a few months' time because I think we need to explore this a lot more. But that just leaves me to say thank you to the White Art Collective. Thank you to Jason. Thank you to all the people who've donated so generously. And thank you, as ever, to the audience. I love you guys so much. You are what makes this community such an incredible thing to be a part of. I will see you all next week for another episode of PWR. Thank you so much. Have a great night and stay safe.